The State of the Union.
The State of our Union.
State of the Union.
My fellow Americans, the State of our Union is
going to be fine.
Very, very public.
A complete disaster.
A little more honest.
Business as usual.
Well, by now you've heard the pundits' take on President Obama's State of the Union address and Republicans' reaction last night. We want to hear what potential voters have to say. In many ways, the State of the Union kicked off President Obama's reelection campaign. How did the president's speech resonate with real American people, real American voters? We've got three of them here right now. A panel of takeaway listeners is here joining us. Alexander Jaron, a registered Democrat from Vermont. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Jack Boyle, a registered Republican and Tea Party activist from Solon, Ohio. Jack.
Good morning.
And Ketanya Barnes, president of Independent Voters of Nevada, which by definition makes her an independent. Ketanya joins us from her home in Reno. Ketanya, good morning.
Good morning.
Ketanya, I'm starting with you because so far in this election, and there are a lot of corners to turn, the strategists tell us that both we don't know if Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee. He was the likely nominee until a week ago. But that Republicans are likely to try to beat President Obama in the middle with independents, and that President Obama is trying to win in the middle with independents. That means you. So I need your take on what you heard last night.
I believe that President Obama came out with a very strong plan, more so than we heard in his previous State of the Union. He made three very important points for Nevadans regarding skilled workforce, foreclosures, and the housing crisis, which has hit Las Vegas very hard, and the construction and infrastructure jobs, which has also hit Nevada extremely hard.
Now, it's interesting in those three things that you mentioned, Ketanya Barnes, you did not mention income inequality or what the president calls shared sacrifice. Alexander Jaron, you're a Democrat in Vermont. The president definitely thinks that the idea of shared sacrifice and getting the rich to pay their fair share is going to resonate with you.
Absolutely.
And do you think he hit those notes? I mean, did it fire you? Look, the president knows you're going to vote for him. He wants to fire you up to send money and to organize for him and call your friends.
I'm already organizing, and I'm already calling my friends. I agree with what Ketanya said. I think he had a really strong plan. I think it came out stronger than the last time. I believe that we all should share in what's going on. You know, the people who can afford should be paying. The people who can't afford should be given some kind of reprieve.
Jack Boyle, you're a registered Republican and Tea Party activist in Solon, Ohio. What do you hear when you hear shared sacrifice? Did you hear the president committing class warfare and pitting Americans against others, or did you hear something that sounded reasonable, which is Warren Buffett shouldn't be paying less than his secretary? What did you take away from that flourish?
Well, what I took away from that flourish and from the speech in general was that, you know, we had a basically unserious president with an unserious presentation. Everyone knows that if he took all of the money, if there was no, you know, complete inequality, he took all the money from the rich, it wouldn't come close to balancing the budget. The idea that he's going to take a little bit more from them, but then doesn't speak at all to all of the other spending that he's talking about. I mean, it's as though it isn't even a problem. This is simply an unserious argument meant to as a campaign initiative to demagogue a particular group of people, with no real serious outcome. If he got everything he wanted, we'd still have all the problems and less money out in the economy to create jobs with. So it was a wonderful sounding speech that was just essentially not serious.
Now, Jack Boyle, the president may have been demagoguing the rich, but he's also demagoguing Congress. And one of the things that I heard earlier this week from the Republican majority leader himself, Eric Cantor, was basically confirming something Obama administration officials have said, that the things you're talking about, the big money, entitlements, Medicare, defense, and taxes, the big things, they're not going to get done this year. The election is going to have to sort it out. Congress is too divided from the president. Our political system is just too divided. Republicans must share a large measure of the blame for that, don't you think? Don't you think the president had that message last night?
Well, I think the president and Eric Hanna are both right. I think when, you know, we like to talk about compromise, but compromise means that we kind of are both on the same page and we need to tinker with the details to get there. When, you know, one group says you should go in this direction and the other group says you should go in that direction, the compromise is somebody's right and somebody isn't. And that's what elections are about. And, you know, we saw that in 2008. We saw that now in 2010, the reaction to the Obama administration. And so I think we're going to, you know, hopefully see that in 2012. The American people will, you know, make some decisions of going in which direction, and then we'll go in that direction. When you have fundamentally, you know, opposite approaches to things, where is there a basis for compromise? There isn't.
Katana Barnes, you're president of Independent Voters in Nevada. Part of last night's speech was about blame. Yes, we're dysfunctional, but the president had the bully pulpit, and he said Congress is dysfunctional. They're to blame. Does that resonate in Nevada where people's houses are underwater?
Yes, it does. We have quite a few people on both sides of the two major parties that are equally disenfranchised with this whole mess that we're in, and they want to see people working together, and compromise isn't somebody's right or somebody's wrong. It means you work to find a common ground that will work best for everybody.
And the president thinks it's going to resonate with you because he's swinging through Nevada on this three-day swing starting this morning. Katana Barnes, president of Independent Voters of Nevada. Jack Boyle, registered Republican, Tea Party activist in Solon, Ohio. Thank you both for joining us. Alexander Jaron, Democrat, Vermont. I'm going to end with you because Obama's your guy. He needs to fire up a lot of people. You said he's got you fired up, but there are a lot of liberals who think not that he's a liberal vanguard, but that he's kowtowed too much.
I think that when he started talking about the issues with outsourcing of jobs, bringing the jobs back, I think they're the things that we need to focus on. He is focused on them. We need Congress to realize what the problems really are. I think that the Republicans and the Tea Party candidates need to accept responsibility for what happened before he came into office, and he's done a lot since he's in there.
Thanks, Alexander. We're gonna leave it there. Alexander Jaron, registered Democrat from Vermont. Thank you. Let's check in on now on some top stories we're following at 15 minutes past the hour. An American and Danish aid worker who were being held hostage in Somalia had been freed in a raid by U.S. Special Forces. Reports say the troops landed by helicopter at a pirate camp under the cover of darkness. President Obama has outlined how he believes he can lead America out of a global economic crisis. At his State of the Union address, he said he had a vision for recovery, which would ensure job creation and fairness for taxpayers.
My message is simple. It is time to stop rewarding businesses that ship jobs overseas and start rewarding companies that create jobs right here in America. Send me these tax reforms, and I will sign them right away.
President's unlikely to get those tax reforms this year, however. A momentary wave of unity swept over the chamber as Democratic Representative Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot by a lone gunman in Arizona shortly before the last State of the Union last year, attended during her last week serving as a U.S. Congresswoman. President John F. Kennedy's presidential library has released the final 45 hours of his private recordings representing the last months of Kennedy's life. The tapes include discussions on the growing conflict in Vietnam and plans for the 1964 election. Kennedy recorded many of his White House meetings in secrecy, keeping their existence away from top aides. Pizza is still on the high school cafeteria menu, but it's not going to be any healthier than before. First Lady Michelle Obama and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack are expected to announce today that most school meals, including pizza, will have less sodium, more whole grains, and more fruits and vegetables as sides. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always tell us your view at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.